Book of Acts, chapter 2, and for the sake of time, we'll just read part of this. This is what we're going to look at this morning, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. Let's begin with verse 22 to the end of the chapter, Acts 2, 22. Simon Peter's preaching says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him," Psalm 16, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." End of quote. And Simon goes on, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, that God would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses," speaking of the apostles. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Pray with me. Our God and our Father, we thank you, as our brother has already said, We thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. What a glad hour it is. What a high honor and a privilege it is to be gathered together with the saints. We brought here by the Spirit of God to hear your word read, hear it preached. Oh, how blessed are they who have the word of God, who read it, who hear it, who believe it. My, my, what a blessing. How blessed we are to be brought out of this world into this place to hear the blessed truth, the gospel of Christ. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would bless your word again. Bless us with a double portion on this, the Lord's day. Let us go in the strength of this meeting days to come. Let us think on these things. Let this be a well springing up in us just when we need it. Bless your word, O Lord. Call out your people into the fold, into Christ. Get glory to your name. Get glory to thy Son. Let us see Christ again this morning. Lord, you've done great things for us, whereof we're glad, and we ask that you do it for others, those who don't know you, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, our spouses, our parents, Lord. Send the word in power here or wherever you're pleased. Send it forth in power in the Holy Spirit and give much assurance. We ask these things. We ask your forgiveness of our sins. We ask for your blessings upon your people going through trials and troubles. Be with them. Give them a good testimony. And that's why you send these things. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. And we do all this, pray all these things for Christ's sake, in his name, for his honor, his glory. Amen.
Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus may all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own. His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus our King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship his majesty. He has saved us and given such mercy and grace. Majesty, his is our destiny. He saves his own, he saves alone. Lift up our song. So rejoice, lift up your voice to Christ our Savior. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus our King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Thank you, Sister Peggy. A woman died recently that people called Her Majesty. And they will soon be crowning a man whom they will call His Majesty, won't they? Simon Peter said that Christ received, he said, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of His Majesty." He's the only one that deserves that title. His Majesty. Man has no majesty. Man, men, women are lowly, worthless sinners. One alone deserves the title of His Majesty. King of kings and Lord of lords. My, my. Thank you. That was a blessing. That blessed me. Acts chapter 2. Go back there. Acts chapter 2. And I want to try to do some Pentecostal preaching this morning. You didn't know that your pastor was a Pentecostal preacher, did you? Only true preachers of the gospel are Pentecostal preachers. What happened here at Pentecost? By the way, Pentecost means 50 days. Christ was on this. Christ made His sacrifice. It was 50 days after the Passover. That's what Pentecost meant. 50 days after the Passover. That He was going to have a outpouring of the Holy Spirit 50 days after the Passover. Well, Christ, our Passover, was crucified on Calvary's tree. He stayed on this earth 40 days. And then 10 days later, the disciples were together and this happened. But Christ was exalted. Christ was seen. God saved 3,000 souls. Pentecost. So many so-called Pentecostal people that don't have a clue what it means. Pentecost. And everybody fakes all this tongue talking and all that. It's fake. It's phony. It's foolishness. And people that fall for it are fools. It's not the Spirit of God, it's another spirit. It's an evil spirit. Pentecostal preaching, I'm going to show you, hope to, is preaching Christ high and lifted up. And people hear the gospel of Christ and they repent and they believe and they confess Him. And they're added to the church. After this happened, nobody went away talking about tongues. Nobody went away talking about tongues. By the way, tongues means a language. It means a language. There's no such thing as an unknown language. All language, there are languages throughout the earth. None of them are without signification, the scripture said. And God gave these apostles this immediate gift to preach the truth, to preach Christ in the language of all those people that were meeting there that day at Pentecost. Okay? To preach Christ. So that each one of them heard the gospel in their language. They didn't have time to go to school and learn those languages. God miraculously gave them this ability to preach the gospel in all these languages of these people. And they heard the gospel. And nobody went away talking about those languages. Nobody went away talking about all the miracles and signs and the cloven tongues and the fire and all that. Everybody went away talking about Jesus Christ. Everybody went away talking about God's mercy to them, God's grace to them, God's salvation, how God saved their souls, how God had mercy on them. So all of this stuff that talks about the Spirit so much, it talks about the tongues, it dwells on that, and all this Holy Ghost fire and all people acting like blooming idiots, that's of the devil. That's not of the Lord. Day of Pentecost came, verse 1 says, they were all together of one accord. One Lord, one faith, one hope of your calling, and His disciples were gathered together by the Lord. 11, 12, counting Matthias, like we're here today, this morning. Now I'm bringing this message in hope that the Lord will do what He did at Pentecost for someone here this morning. This is how every single sinner is saved by God. Every single sinner is saved the exact same way these 3,000 people were saved at Pentecost. They heard the gospel, they believed Christ, they repented, they confessed Him in believer baptism, and God joined them in the church, and they stayed there from then on. And I hope, and I pray that God does it for someone. He hasn't done it yet for someone. He'd do it for them. I hope He does it for me. But, so they were together, and speaking of these fiery tongues, you got a fiery preacher, don't you? Huh? He's a fiery preacher. What's the fire of the Spirit of God? When He baptizes by fire, what's that? That's the gospel. Gospel preached in power. Power, Holy Ghost, power, much assurance of who Christ is. It says they all began to, verse 4, they all began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does the Spirit do? What does the Spirit say? What is the Holy Spirit? What did Christ say that the Holy Spirit would say? He said in John 15, He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit and He'll take the things of mine. John 16, He'll convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment concerning Christ. Isn't that right? You know these scriptures, don't you? How blessed we are. People everywhere are taken by all this foolishness. But we hear Christ. We hear Christ Sunday after Thursday after Sunday after Thursday. We hear Christ. He's this book. He's salvation. He's everything. The Holy Ghost fire is God taking the gospel and burning up your religion. Burning up your work. Burning up everything it has to do with you. And showing you Christ the burnt offering. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what happened here. The Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, convicted everybody of their sin against God and their rejection of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people confessed Jesus Christ. And they went away talking about Him. Nothing else. They said down in verse 12, when they heard this going on, what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this we're doing this morning? What mean ye by this service? Why are we here? People all over the world gathering together on so-called Sabbath or Sunday and for various reasons. And God's people meet together for one reason. To worship God in spirit. It says God the Father seeketh us to worship Him. You're here to worship God. You got anything to worship Him about? What? What is it? Why do you worship God and praise God? Why do you want to come here and sing these songs and hear the God? Why? Why do you worship God? Why do you give praise and thank to God? What's it all about? Salvation. Most people don't think they need saving, don't need saving. It's all about fun and family and, you know, all this stuff. God's people meet together now on this earth to talk about so great salvation that God did for them in Jesus Christ. And they're meeting together right now, everybody in glory right now, talking about so great a salvation that Christ did for them in glory. Forever, that's what we're going to talk about. Worship God, rejoice in Christ. No confidence in the flesh. Those are the marks of God's true people, His true Israel. Worship God in the Spirit for all He did for us, chose us, and gave us Christ. Rejoice in Christ Jesus because He did it all. Christ did it all. And put no confidence in the flesh. If I start talking in some other language right now, get up quick and leave this place. You hear me? But now if I preach Christ, you sit, you listen carefully. And this was a prophecy from Joel chapter 2. I want you to turn back there. Can you find it real quick? Can I find it? Joel chapter 2. I didn't mark it. I hope I can find it. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Book of Joel chapter 2. This was a prophecy from Joel chapter 2. And oh, how modern religion, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost, tongue talking people like to bring this up. You know, sons and your daughters are prophesying and so on. Well, here's what it said. Joel chapter 2, the last verse. And Paul quoted this in Romans 10. It shall come to pass Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, not Jesus, the Lord, shall be delivered, saved. Or in Mount Zion, that's His church, in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. What? From sin. From this present evil world. As the Lord hath said, and the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You read that with me? For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. Whom He did predestinate. You know how few people know this, that scripture? They know Romans 8:28. They don't know verse 29. All things work together for good to them that love God. We know that. Who the, what? Called according to His, what? Purpose. For whom He did foreknow, that is love before the world began. He did predestinate. You like that word? Well, hear it again. Predetermined destiny. That God purposed your eternal destiny if He chose you and put you in Christ. I love that. Don't let me have my will my way. Predestined. Whom He did predestinate, He called by our gospel. Whom He called, He justified by faith. It's not yourselves. Get to God. Whom He justified, He glorified. Mike, sounds like it's all past tense, doesn't it? It is. For the world. I love that. I love that. Sounds like our salvation was complete when God said it. Sounds like our salvation was complete when God, Christ did it. Salvation, it sounds like salvation's of the Lord. I'm so glad. Well, this happened at Pentecost. Go back here. And Simon Peter is preaching. And he said, this happened according to the prophecy of the prophet Joel, verse 16. And down in verse 21, Simon Peter says, it come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, nobody feared Jesus back then. Nobody feared Jesus. They hated Jesus. They thought they'd killed Jesus. Right? We know that Jesus of Nazareth. That's Joseph's son. That's Mary's boy. That's a carpenter. He's just a man. He pretends to be God, they said. Boy, they're going to find out, aren't they, Tommy? And so is everybody in this world. Nobody fears Jesus. Well, He's outside your heart. He can't get in unless you let Him. Please let Him in. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody is saved by accepting that fellow. I tell our people all the time, if some fellow named Jesus standing outside your heart's door wants in, don't let him. Don't let him in. Scripture talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. The God in whose hands our breath is in all our ways. Lord, this is what the people heard. They believed this, that this Jesus was just a man and nobody feared Jesus. But when it's all over, when after Simon Peter preached, they're all going to hit their knees before a sovereign on the throne. That He might save them or He might not. That their souls are in the hands of the one they rejected. Every single person at Pentecost feared the Lord Jesus Christ in this solo. And they called on Him for mercy. And God answered. And this whole world, this whole religious world, not just Pentecostal, but free will, Arminian, Southern Baptist religious people think that Jesus is some helpless martyr who died, loves everybody so much, died for everybody and made some kind of offer if you'd accept it, that God will be so happy with you. He just wants, and that's blasphemy. That's not the gospel. That's another gospel. Nobody is saved by believing that. Not one single person is ever saved believing that false gospel. Anybody that says that is a false preacher. And Simon Peter and all these preachers and your preacher, you got a preacher named John. That's a good name, isn't it? John. John came what, preaching what? John the Baptist. Repent! You never hear that anymore. You don't hear that word. Men don't have anything to repent of. God loves you. Jesus died for you. What's there? He loves you just like you are. No, He doesn't. He loves you if you're in Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. Only reason. God is angry with the wicked of the dead. And the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven every day. Floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, famines, disasters, droughts, and all that. Diseases, pestilence, plague after plague after plague, like it was in Egypt that time. And none of the Egyptians saw it. Plagues of God because of sin, because of unbelief, because God was angry. And that's this world that had changed. God sent a plague a few years ago. Anybody calling on God? Lord, God, forgive us for our sin and our unbelief. Please have mercy on us all. Anybody? God's people. Just a few. Like the Israelites of old, they saw those plagues, every one of them, as the hand of God against a sinful world. And those believers, those few believers, those Israelites, saw that it was only the blood of that Passover lamb that kept God from killing them. Every one of them, same thing. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other gospel. God, the only way God's going to have mercy and grace on anybody is through Jesus Christ. And they all heard this Christ. Look at what He said in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, a man. A man approved of God that's never been said before. Or since. A man approved of God. A man whom God is pleased with. Isaiah 42, he says he's well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He's not pleased with man. He says a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. Because God was in Christ reconciling a world of people out of every kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven unto himself in Jesus Christ. Verse 23, Simon says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The eternal purpose and covenant and God, a covenant of salvation that God made with His Son before the world began to send Jesus Christ into this earth to die for the people whom He gave to Christ. To put away their sin by the sacrifice of Himself. You know how few people know these things. You know how few people care. How blessed we are. We hear this over and over again. There is no other gospel. Determinate foreknowledge of God. God would love you before the world began. You know, people don't think anything about the love of God. People don't care about the love of God. And God, pastors, preachers, so-called, are throwing that love out there, and it doesn't mean anything. And now, if you're an unlovely, hell-deserving, wretched, vile, no-good sinner whom God ought to send to hell, that's what you really think about. And you hear that God loved you and gave you to Christ, and Christ came to die for you, to die under the wrath and judgment of God for you. You'll sing that song. How can it be that God would love us over that? Well, he said, him delivered, you have taken with wicked hands and crucified and slain. Now, none of us were there when Christ died, were we? Was there ever a time in your life that you didn't care about this gospel? Was there ever a time when you didn't care? I'll just tell you my experience, okay? You know who I am, a preacher's kid, and heard the gospel for so many years, and I rejected it. I couldn't wait to leave. I didn't care. I didn't care about
God and
Christ. I just went out of here. Like the prodigal, I left. I couldn't wait to get out of here. And for several years there, I didn't care if Jesus Christ lived or died. You know, if you don't care if somebody lives or dies, you might as well kill them. To ignore somebody. Just say, I don't care if you're alive or dead. You know, people, Catholics and all, Mass and all, that's killing Christ over again. So, we're guilty. We're all guilty. That's what God holds the whole world accountable for. Rejecting His Son. And it says here, look at this in verse 24, but God has raised Him up. God sent Christ to this, Scripture calls this present evil world. Save a people that aren't worth saving. A people that He loved that aren't worth loving. A people that He chose that rejected Him. A people He gave to Christ that didn't give a flip for Him. But God. They're going to. Everyone. They're going to hear and they're going to believe and they're going to be so thankful and they're going to rejoice and all the rest of their life they're going to be praising God to high heaven for everything He's done for them in Christ. That's right. Amen. And our God raised Christ from the dead, and it says, look down at verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. And verse 33, Simon Peter said, Him being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He's the one doing this. That's what he said, Thomas. He's the one controlling this whole thing right now. The Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the circle of the earth, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, is controlling everything. Barnard used to say that rides the wriggles. That God hath given Him all authority and all power over all flesh. Principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus Christ runs it all. From the worms to the devils. He's doing it all. That's what this book says. And man's doing nothing, but He's doing it all. What do you think about that? I'm glad. Because if I'm in Him, I'm in good shape. Mm. And he says in verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He's the one that did this. David's not ascended. But the Lord Jesus Christ is. In verse 36, He said, in verse 35, I'm going to make all your foes thy footstool under the feet of Jesus Christ. Verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. And Simon Peter sat down. He didn't ask anybody anything, did he? Did it? Did they have while the organ's playing, while the music's playing soft, nobody moved, upset the Holy Spirit. Now, won't you come? Won't you come? That's see, the gospel's the power of God in salvation. Christ is the power of God. It's all in His it's His prerogative. It's His power. It's not us. God saves whom He will, when He will, how He will. One way, the gospel of God. Simon Peter sat down. Didn't ask anybody anything. Except Jesus. That's not in the Bible. Mm-mm. He sat down. And the Holy Spirit took this fear of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he just preached, what they heard, that Christ is high and lifted up, and that every one of them had rejected this sovereign Lord and put the fear of the Lord in them. And look at verse 37. When they heard this, they heard the truth, they heard the gospel of Christ pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, what are we going to do? We rejected God. Peter said unto them, repent What does repent mean? It means godly sorrow. Here's repentance. David said, have mercy on me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You're going to be justified when you speak. You're going to be clear if you send me to hell. I was shaped in iniquity. I was born that way. I've lived that way. And sin did my mother conceive me. Purge me with hyssop. I'll be clean. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me hear this joy and gladness. Make me hear the gospel. Make me hear. Say unto my soul that you're my salvation. Hide your face from my sin. Blot out my transgression. That's repenting. And they did. Look at it with me. Every eye, look at verse 38. Look at it with me. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. No salvation without repentance. No salvation apart from hearing the gospel, the true gospel. No salvation without repentance. And the Holy Spirit gives repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner substitute. And every single person that believes Christ, every single person that actually trusts Jesus Christ, hopes in Jesus Christ, needs Jesus Christ, their sin offering, is baptized. There were 3,000 people here. 3,000 people were baptized. Not one of them was not baptized. Not one person said, well, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. No. Why? Because God gave them such a relief, such comfort, such peace that when believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they'll be saved. Believe and you'll receive remission of sin. Your sins will be gone. You'll see Christ crucified, your sin offering, your burnt offering, your salvation. You'll believe on the Christ and there's peace and there's joy and there's comfort. You mean my sins are gone? You mean God doesn't? He's not angry with me? No, he's not. Not in Christ. He's not. You mean my past is wiped out? There's some things my sin is ever before me. There's some things I've done that I can't get out of my head. It's ever before me. You mean that's gone? Gone. How? Christ covered under the blood. Really? Really? You've got to confess somebody's done that for you. Our Lord says, why, how could you be ashamed of me? And I bore your shame. That is not possible. Every one of them. But look at it, verse 41. They that gladly received Simon's preaching were baptized. Every one of them. And he went on to say many other words. Verse 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This false gospel. All these people, most of these people were religious. And they'd never heard the truth of who Christ is and what they were. The truth of who God is. And now they have. And they believe. Now look at it. Let's just close. We've only been 25 minutes. Read on with them. All 3,000 people heard the truth. All 3,000 people repented. All 3,000 people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. All 3,000 were baptized. That's a lot of baptism, isn't it? And they continued, verse 42, continued steadfastly. That means we're not going anywhere. In the apostles' doctrine. What's that? Christ? Same doctrine. They all, to a man, Greg said, they came back next Sunday and said, Simon, would you preach that same message? You want to hear it again? Yes! That's all you want to hear? Yes! Continued steadfastly in fellowship What is this fellowship? It's fellowship around Christ, fellowship of His suffering, fellowship around the gospel. That's what our fellowship is. Not about family and about fun. It's about Jesus Christ. Fellowship, breaking of bread, that means the Lord's table. And the Lord's table is for baptized believers. That's the order. In the New Testament, you're baptized. Baptism is confessing Christ publicly. That's what the Lord said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What's that mean? Exactly what He said. No exceptions. No exceptions. And everybody, they believed Christ. And they couldn't wait to get in that baptismal pool. And they confessed it. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, bore witness with their spirit. If you don't confess Christ, you're going to wonder. You're going to wonder for a long time if you know it. If you confess, He said, he that confesses me before men, I'll confess. I'll give you that witness within yourself. That's right. And they did, and then they broke bread. That means they took the Lord's table. I'll never forget that before, you know, when the Lord started dealing with me, through preaching the gospel, the Lord brought this prodigal back. You've heard the story. And I started sitting and listening, and the Lord was dealing with me, convicted me, and I believed the truth, and I believed Christ. But I hadn't confessed Him yet. I don't know why. You know, some people wait. They think, well, I'll wait till I feel just right. I'll wait till I feel like I've got enough faith. I'll wait till I feel like I've enough repentance. You'll be waiting a long time to wait. You're not confessing you, you're confessing Him. What you're doing in confessing Him is say, I don't feel anything like I ought to feel. I don't do anything like I ought to do. I'm not what I ought to be, what I want to be, but Jesus Christ is my hope. I believe Him. I look to Him. I trust Him. That's it. Confessing Him. And all my hope's in Him, what He did. That's confessing Christ. But I remember that I wanted to take the Lord's table. Couldn't take it yet. I remember them passing that plate and they passed me by. I wanted to do that so bad. I'd see people doing that and I wanted to do it so bad. Oh my. Then the Lord convinced me. Yeah. He didn't confess me yet. And I did. And buddy, I remember the next time I had the Lord's table. Boy, give me that. Yes. Give me that bread. Oh, man. This is wonderful. I remember thinking that wine is the best I've ever put in my mouth. That bread was the best thing. I said, this is wonderful. Communion is what that is. And fear. Look at verse 43. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know, wonders and signs are done here. People just don't know it. Wonders and signs. You know, the blinds receive their sight. Anybody blind before receive your sight in this place? Anybody? Anybody here that here you were deaf and you heard the Lord's voice? Anybody? Huh? The lame walk. Anybody walk the course of this world, and one day he preached the gospel to you through Christ. Now you're walking by faith. That's a miracle. You mean those Parker boys are in church? Yeah, look at them walking through that front door, seated, clothed in their right minds, worshiping God and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. I never thought I'd see that. It won't last. That's what they said about me. That's what her brother said. It won't last. He said that 30-some years ago. It won't last. Buddy, what Jesus Christ does lasts. It's real. It's forever. And they did. They continued together daily, ate their meat. Christ said, I'm meat. Indeed, gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. Oh man, you know what? You're my favorite people. Y'all are my favorite people. Tommy, you're my one of my favorite people.
Oh yeah, Johnny, you too. Your dad. That's fond memory. We're God's favorite people. We found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Are we better than anybody else? It's all because of Jesus Christ. You see that? You see that? You see that? Favor. God added to the church. We don't join the church. God joins us to the church. He puts us in the church. Somebody said, you don't go to church. You are the church. You are the church. And Christ is your life. That's what he's saying. Let everybody there confess Christ. They believe. They heard. They believe. They confess Christ. And now Christ is their life. He's their life. Is he your life? Oh, I believe he is for many, if not most of you. And my hope and my prayer is that he'll do the same for somebody else in this very room. And this is how he does it. Lord bless you. May the Lord use his word. Okay, that's good.